Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. In a moment, we'll read verses 1 through verse number 4. We've been looking at, from the beginning of this year, the thought of our walk. You remember and recall that Paul was talking to this church at Ephesus. And he says, out of love, church, I want you to gain and glean some truths that you need to be doing. How you need to be living, how you need to be walking. He started off and says, I want you to walk worthy of your vocation. Walk worthy of who you've been called by. Walk worthy of who you belong to. I want you to walk in the way that would honor and reverence and respect the name of God. And then he went through and he started explaining specific areas in regards to their walk. And we've been looking at those areas over the last several months of looking at our walk. And what our walk ought to be. The last couple weeks we dealt with before Mother's Day. We dealt with and preached to the mothers. On Mother's Day we preached to the fathers. And now the day after, or week after Mother's Day, we're going to preach to the children and to the parents. But some say, well, I'm not a parent. Do you know there's some principles here for you as well? I'm not a child. I don't live at home. Do you know there's some principles for you as well this morning? And we're going to look at these thoughts. And I trust that each of us will take them and apply them to our lives. But for our younger people especially, I believe there are some things we are going to cover this morning that I believe if you would get a hold of, it will change your life and you will have the blessing of God upon your life if you follow God's word. And the Bible even talks about this, and we're going to hit that as well, about God blessing those that do what his word says. And we're going to look at this morning. If you're able to, please stand with me, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 4 this morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would just illuminate your scriptures this morning. Lord, help us to draw the truths you want us to draw this morning. Work in each of our lives, I pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You may be seated. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. Remember, respond in the right way. Those that weren't here, you need to watch and listen to that message. We talked about that. Talked about submitting one to another as we started that off. But now it comes to this thought. Children! Now it's interesting. He's dealing with a lot of things in the home. He's dealing with the adults. But now he's going to address the children. Why would children make an impact in the church? Why would children even need to be addressed? Why would Paul take time when he's pouring out his heart to the church of Ephesus and to the individuals at Ephesus and saying, hey, I want you to get this. This is how I want you to walk. Why would he take some time and turn from them, from the adults, from the members of this church, now to some children, the younger folk of the church? Why would he take his time and turn to them? Why would that make a difference? Because what was his purpose? His purpose is the church would be what it ought to be. The church of Ephesus would be what it ought to be. And that each of them would walk worthy of their vocation. And it does not matter your age. If you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, you are to walk worthy of your vocation. It does not matter if you're young this morning. It doesn't matter if you're old this morning. If you're blood bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, every one of us is the call to walk worthy of our vocation. Now, it is seen differently. I understand what I expect from a 2-year-old is different than what I expect from a 60-year-old. All right? We understand that. I understand what we expect in regards to obedience from a 2-year-old is different than what we expect from a 16-year-old. There's a difference, but the command is given. And as you look at the wording of this, as the wording that is given, and you look at the moods, and you look at everything that's given in this text, this is not something to do if you want to do. This is a command given if you're going to walk worthy of your vocation. Children, if you're going to walk worthy of your vocation, this is what you must do. Children of God, told you we're going to apply it to all of us. If you're going to walk worthy of your vocation, this is what you must do in regards to your Heavenly Father. Children. And he says this in a way to get attention. It's interesting. Sometimes the younger ones need something to get attention. All right? Because what do children sometimes do? Especially when there's a message going on and it's usually geared to the parents. It takes a little bit sometimes to get the attentions of the children, right? Because the children start to zone off. How many adults zone off? No, don't raise your hand. How many fall asleep in church, Brother Dick? But you start to zone off. That's why we move the chairs away from the wall so it can't lean up against the wall there. And so, but we tend, Rich, yours is coming, especially after what you did to me with Lori. And a lot of times, there needs to be something to get attention. And I want us to get attention this morning. Because what is found here, we've become so used to hearing that we let it go in and out and we don't get what is being said here. Children, you need to get this. All children, children of all ages, we need to get this. Even if it's to our Heavenly Father, we need to get this morning. It says, children, then it's that word. A 4-letter word that most kids hate to hear. It is that word, obey. O-B-E-Y, obey always. O-B-E-Y, obey now. Obey father, obey mother, obey teachers too. And we hear that word, O-B-E-Y. Ah! I tell you, it scares us. It's almost as bad as that word submit. And do you know what that word obey means? It comes from the same thought line and driven of the same word of submission. Did you know obedience and submission go hand in hand? And you know what he's saying? Children, submit. Now wait a second. What does this submit mean? Remember, let's go back to when we talked about this. Submit means responding in the right way. Children, respond in the right way to your parents. Children of that have a Heavenly Father, respond to your Heavenly Father in the right way. It is this idea of children submitting, responding to their parents the way God would have them respond. get this. Our young people, you got to get this. Because we are in a generation where the young people in our world, because of this world and because of not the example set by parents, because of other avenues and other reasons, think they don't need to listen to this. But the scripture tells us we ought to listen to this. This is a command. Children are not responding in the right way to their parents today. Oh, believe me, children, we're going to hit the parents too. If I'm beating you up now, then we'll beat your parents up, all right? But children are not responding in the right way to the parents. It means to obey. What does this idea of responding right, obedience means? It means you are told something, and you want to please God, and you want to please your parents, and you want to follow the command that God has given, so you do what is asked. Now, some of you kids are saying, what if my parents ask me to do something illegal? What if my parents ask me or tell me to do something that is wrong to do? There's a little phrase there. Children obey your parents in the Lord. All right? We hit this even in regards to submission in that. If it goes against the word of God, it goes against the laws that are there, and it's an illegal activity, yes, you're not supposed to do that. If your parents tell you to jump off the cliff, you're not to obey your parents and jump off the cliff, okay? Because usually they don't really mean it, but you just brought them to that point, all right? But that's not, so it's this idea, children, respond in the right way. Obey. How do we as children respond in the right way? How does obedience work? Obedience is more than just outward action. It's an inward heart. Because obedience and responding in the right way is that my heart is right. Do you know the key for even us as adults to obey God? It has to do with our heart. Our heart has to be right. If your heart is soft and tender-hearted and trying and striving to please God and live for God, do you know we're going to be obedient to God? As children, as young people, even though you're young, even though you don't know everything, even though you can still be tender to God, and when your heart is tender to God and you're striving to please God, obedience falls into place. Because it's not my will kicking against the will of my parents. It is not my will going against the will of God. It's me surrendering, obedient to the will of God. By obeying my parents, I'm going to follow and do what my parents say and respond in the right way. It has to do with the heart. You see, I obey when my heart's right. I shake my fist and get angry and staunch in what I want to do when my heart isn't right. Because remember, this is a what? Command. It is not given as an option. So I choose to listen and do what God tells me to do, or I choose not to listen and do what God tells me to do. Do you see? If God says, your parents are your authority in your home, and your parents have responsibilities, and the responsibilities given to your parents is to tell you what to do, and they are telling you what to do. Now, we're going to stand in the Lord. Don't forget that. They tell you what to do. It is your responsibility to choose to obey and do what God wants you to do and what your parents want you to do. When you choose not to do, to him to know the good and do the not, to him it is sin. When we as children choose not to listen to what our parents are saying and doing what our parents tell us to do. It is sin not only against the parents, but it's sin against God. Because God has given your parents that role. And we're going to look at that role. But in giving you that role, to set the parameters in the home and to give the rules, to give things in the home. And it's your responsibility to not question it, not to get angry about it, but it's your responsibility to obey it. Now, this idea of children is very interesting. Because the children in this, as you study this out, was talking about anybody that was in the home. Now, anyone that have studied out Scripture and understand the way that their homes were, is they were extended families a lot of times. And there was a patriarch, if you will, that would be over the home, even though there could be several husbands and several wives and several children, all part of the family there. There was usually a patriarch, someone over the home that set the guidelines. So you know what this teaches us? It teaches us this concept. As long as you're under your parents, you're to obey your parents. Now there's another part of honoring, and that comes even after out of the home. But this idea of obeying the parents is once you're in the home, if you're in the home, you have the responsibility still to submit to the role of your parents and obey your parents and follow the command that God has given you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is an option. For this is a good thing. For this is something you should do if you want to do it. No, for this is right. You know what that word right means? It means there's no other option. This is what is good in the sight of God. Do you remember many times in Scripture, individuals did that which was right in their own sight? That's not right. Doing that which is right in the sight of God is right. And what we need is young people today to understand what God wants you to do is to obey, respond in the right way to your parents. That's your walk. The Christian child's walk is to follow the leader of their family and their home and obey and respond and do what God wants them to do. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have seen a kid at a store that you just look at them and say, "Ugh, I can't believe they would ever act that way"? You know, we've seen that. Now, what if we knew they were a Christian and they responded right? How many of you young people have kids at school? I won't call them friends, they're acquaintances, because you try to stay far away from them, at least hopefully you do. And they are just awful individuals. The way they act, the way they talk, the way they do things. And you see them. And then you come to find out they go to church. You find out they call themselves a Christian. And you look back and say, well, how can they? See, our walk, even as children, are important. Do you know you should not respond the same way that your friends that aren't saved respond to their parents? You should respond differently as a believer. Well, so-and-so talks to their mom and dad this way. But you say you're saved, and you're to walk differently than they walk, and you're to respond differently than they do. Well, you should hear the attitude they give their parents. You are responsible for yourself. You are a child of God. You have been given the command to respond in the right way to your parents. And this is what you must do if you're going to walk worthy of your vocation that you're called to. Children, obey your parents. Children, listen to your parents. Children, do what God wants you to do and follow that command. But number two, if we're going to, children going to walk worthy, they must respond right, but they must reverence right. Children, honor thy father and thy mother. So that means this. Oh, great dad! Woo, you're the best dad! I bow down to you. No. That woke some of you up a little bit. That woke some of you up a little bit. Now, what is this idea? What is this idea? Honor thy father and thy mother. How many were sleeping and just got woke up? All right. What is this idea of honor thy father and mother? It is, once again, this idea of a reverence, a respect. It carries that idea to hold in high regard. It's this. Put in simple terms. I don't think mom and dad are stupid. This is the idea of honor and respect. I believe this is what it's saying here. God's word is saying this. Children, understand, I've given you your parents, and your parents are given there to guide you, and this is what you need to do. You need to respect what they're saying. You need to hold them in high regards and realize what they're trying to do for you is the best for you. Do you know most television programs today dumb down mom and dad? They show children that when mom and dad say what to do, they roll their eyes. They slam the door. They even talk back. They say things they shouldn't say underneath their breath. And did you know, just a side note, kids, did you know mama can hear everything? Even if you mumble underneath your breath, she knows exactly what you said. Even if you're six rooms away and you mumble under your breath, they still hear. And this day and age, even more, because they have cameras in your room that you just don't know about. And so they're able to hear. And this idea of honoring is saying, you know what? I might not agree. Did you know? Sometimes as a child, you might not agree. And I'm going to say something. Some parents are going to get mad at me. It's okay that you don't agree. But you're still supposed to honor. You're still supposed to reverence. You're still supposed to obey your parents that God's given you. And you're not to cop an attitude. You're not to get angry at them. You're not to do this. You are to reverence, honor them, respect them, and listen to them. Do you know what it has to do with this idea of a teachable spirit? Do you know every one of us are called to have a teachable spirit? Every one of us, no matter our age, we're to be a teachable spirit. That means we need to be able to handle instruction and criticism and being told you're not doing everything you should be doing. This is what you should be doing. And realize that you, no matter what your age is, you don't know everything. Did you know that? Doesn't matter how old you are, we don't know everything. And as you get older, like Brother Dave, you forget what you learned back, and now you know less than what you used to know, right? Yeah. But this idea of teachable. Children, you honor and reverence your parents even if you don't like what they're saying, even if you don't agree with what they're saying. If you're going to follow worthy of your vocation, you're going to honor them, reverence them, and respect what they're saying, and you're going to do what they tell you to do because that is obedient to the Word of God. It is this idea, if I'm reverencing, if I'm doing this, I'm going to heed to them, and I'm going to respect them. I may not agree with it, but I'm still going to do it, and I'm going to do it with the right attitude. Did you get that? I'm still going to do it, and with the right attitude. Do you know there's times in my life I've been told to do something I don't want to do? Anyone else like that? How many have been told by a boss something to do that you thought was not the best idea? You didn't want to do it, but you did it, and you did it with a smile because that's what your boss told you to do, and you're going to do the job. This is the idea, children. God has told you what to do to obey your parents. Your parents have given you instruction. You're to be teachable. You need to listen and heed that instruction. As they're given that instruction, even if you don't agree with the instruction, you're under their home, under their rule, under their responsibility. You are to do what they told you to do with honor and respect, even if you don't agree with it, and to do it with the right attitude and say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and whistle while you do it and rejoice in the Lord because you know this is what's best for you because this is what God wants you to do. This is right. This is right. Children, obey your parents for in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. And then we know this comes from the commandments. And there's a little parenthesis that reminds us of this. It says, which is the first commandment with promise. There are some commandments that were given promises. This is the first one that was given a promise. I want you to see this. What's the promise here? We got to go quickly through this because we got just as much for the parents here that we haven't got to yet. That it may be, so you might miss dinner today, that it might be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Do you know what God's promise is to the children? If you do it God's way, you're going to have quality and quantity to your life. Do you know two people come to my mind that live short lives? And they didn't listen to their parents. Well, if we had time, we could turn there, we can look. One is Samson. We are familiar with Samson. I believe Samson's life was short because Samson didn't heed the teachings of his parents and even the vow and all that was there. He didn't heed. He didn't listen. Another one that comes to my mind is Absalom. Absalom had a perfect situation. I mean, look who he had as a father. Not perfect, but look. But Absalom did not heed and lived a short life. You know what this means? It does not mean that you might live to 103 years old, all right? But it means this thought, that the life that you have is not going to be cut short in this sense. What does God say to those that don't heed his word? Either God's going to break their hearts or he's going to bring them home to glory. And I believe this even applies to with children and those. There are many rebellious children today that they live a hard, short life. I want to give some thoughts here. And I want you to listen to this. There are children that have chose to walk in sin instead of walk worthy of the vocation. I'm not talking about those in the world. Get this. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Please get this morning. I want each of us to heed this. There are children that have been raised in a church. There are children who have claimed a profession of salvation. There are those who have claimed to be saved, raised in church, rebelled against mom and dad, did not honor, did not reverence, did not respect, did not obey, did not do. And they're walking their own pathway. They're walking their own life. They're involved in gross, immoral acts of sin against God and against those things of God. They're involved in things they have no business being involved in. And they do it 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And you know what happens? Have you noticed something about their bodies? You ever seen someone say, man, they had a hard life? Why? Because it's seen even in their skin, their demeanor, their voice, everything about them, and it's played a role in them. As we look at this, this is what this is saying. Hey, you want a life that is blessed. You want a life that is long. You want a life that is joyful. You want a life that's going to bring you happiness and joy in your life. Obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. Do what God has told you to do because this is right. And God's blessing to be upon you. But if you walk in sin and wrath and disobedience and rebellion, you're going to bring destruction to your life. We have so many children. This ought to break our hearts. We have so many children that's been in church that as soon as they can get out of the doors of church, out of the rules of mom and daddy, they go do their own thing. And as a parent, you sit back and it breaks your heart because you know what their life is bringing to them. You know the misery that they're in. You know the destruction that they're facing. But they keep doing their own thing. Do you know we have so many young people that know what they're supposed to be doing but are rebelling against what they should be doing? But we have so many parents that know what they're supposed to be doing, but they're rebelling against what they're supposed to be doing. Let's look at the next couple verses real quickly. Now we see what the parents, how they're supposed to walk. Any fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ye fathers. Now I believe this is written to both parents. I believe the key is given to the parents because the father is to be the spiritual leader in the home. But I believe both parents can provoke the children to wrath. Now, as I've taken time and I've studied this out and try to really wrap around this, what is being said here? Why is he telling this church this? Why is he telling them this is what they ought to be doing? Now, I shared a little bit of this last week. But I want you to tell you, the way that the father was in the home is sure different than the way the father is today. Now, a father could force his children out of the home at any time, any age. Did you get that, kids? Young people? As a father, if you weren't towing the line, if you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing, I could have you removed from my home. I could even have you sold as a slave. If you weren't listening, you weren't doing in our home. Did you know in that day, as a father, I didn't have to keep you to a certain age. I could dismiss you. Do you know even when a child was born, they were brought to the feet of the father, and the father could decide at that time if they wanted that child or not. He could take in the law in his own hands and put any sentence he's pleased upon his children. He could even have his child killed. This is why Paul is addressing the father. Why Paul is talking to the father because not to provoke to wrath. So what is the idea of provoke to wrath? It means to stir your child up to anger. All right, now get this though, because this is what our young people do, our children do, and we probably do this too now. Well, mom and dad, if you discipline me, you're provoking me to anger because you're stirring me up. And because you're stirring me up, no, that's not what this is talking about. Because your parents are to give instruction and discipline. We're going to hit this in a minute. What this is, the idea of this provoking is doing things out of rage and doing it out of anger yourself, which will put fuel on the fire instead of help the situation. This provoking to anger carries this idea of stirring up and stirring the pot, doing things purposely to try to get your kids mad, try to get your kids upset, try to do things. Let's give some illustrations. How many know certain people that pushes other people's buttons? Because especially your kids with your other kids, right? Because how many know what bothers someone? You know it, right? And what do you do when you push a button? You find out what pushes their button, Brother Rich, and you push it. Now, I have to tell you a story. Yesterday, several of us went and picked up items for the yard sale and for our yard sale coming up. And we picked up stuff. There's a couple older gentlemen that did not listen and obey. And they overdid it. Even though a kind, loving, compassionate, wonderful, grand, fabulous, outstanding, all right, person, what's that? Person told them to stop, to sit, to not do anymore. They continue to do it. Then this one individual knows how to push buttons, went home and told his wife that Pastor wouldn't let him stop till they were completely done with everything. Even though he couldn't walk, he couldn't lift, he couldn't do anything, he barely had to be pulled along, and I was the slave driver to him. So this individual's wife comes in with all fun and loving and starts to scold me for her husband being so injured and so hurt because he couldn't stop because I wouldn't let him. He probably even told her I got a whip out or something. Now, that's all in fun, but we know what pushes people's buttons. This idea of a father and a child is you responding in anger as a father and as a mother, and you're pushing the buttons of your child, trying to cause your child to explode. Do you know there's a lot of parents? Yes, you're supposed to raise them, nurture and admonition. We're going to get to that. Yes, you're supposed to instruct. Yes, you're supposed to discipline. But you're to do it in love. Provoking means not done in love. Provoking means not down in love. Do you know when your kids do wrong? We're preaching to all of us here, right? You know when your kids do wrong? It is not right for us to say things that aren't godly to discipline your children. Did you get that? Parents, get this. If we say things that aren't godly to our children, or we belittle our children, that is provoking our children to wrath. Playing favorites is provoking your children to wrath. Now I understand some kids you're drawn closer to because of their temperaments and this and that. But putting one kid above another kid is provoking children to wrath. Do you know that's why children react out of anger and resentment. And that provoking care's idea of causing your children to act out of resentment and anger is because you have put another child above the other child. Do you know constant discouragement is provoking your children's wrath? How dumb are you? I told you 600 times that you're supposed to do this. You never amount to anything. You're worthless. Do you know that is provoking your children's wrath and resentment? This is what the Bible's talking about. This is the idea that is given there. Do you know that's not even right with the children, but that's not right in a husband or wife's relationship as well? Label them a nuisance. You're just a bother. I wish I never had you. Do you know that's provoking your children to wrath? Using physical and verbal abuse. That is provoking your children to wrath. Because even though we're dealing with it, we're to have love with our words. We can be stern. We can be firm. And we need to be. But there needs to be love. Because provoking children to wrath, resentment, is defeating the purpose of the home. Because a home is to please God, glorify God, and there's to be a unity in the home and bring together. Look at this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Build them up. Encourage them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture carries the idea of taking and wrapping arms around and encouraging and helping any way you can. The nurture. You're nurturing something. We're getting into the garden days. And you have plants that some of growing and getting the plants ready to take out and put. Some of you, you care about your grass. And you want your grass to look green. So you take ideas and things you read on the internet and everywhere else because you put stuff back into your grass to make your grass green. You're nurturing your grass. You're putting things into it to help it so it can grow green and lush. Then when you have a couple big dogs, they ruin everything you try to do. And you're putting all that in there. But the idea is this, to nurture your children, first and foremost, means that you pray for your children. You get this? If we're going to nurture our children, if we're going to help build our children up, we need parents of all ages on their knees praying for the children. Because there is an enemy out there that are trying to get the heart of your children. Trying to get in and destroy your children. Trying to destroy this generation. We as God's people and as parents and as church members need to be on our knees praying for this generation and praying for our young people. It starts with nurturing, starts with this idea of praying. We need to be praying. We have many making decisions. We have many that are going through personal struggles. You have children that are having conflicts with this and that. We need to be praying. And I'm not just saying be with our children, amen. I'm saying on our knees with the tears flowing out. Saying, God, whatever you have to do, get a hold of my child, that my child would have no other desire but to live for you and to please you and to serve you. God, do whatever it takes because I want my daughter, I want my son, I want them to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. And to find ourselves nurturing and praying for our kids. Lord, I don't want my kid to be successful in the world's eyes, but I want him to have good success in your eyes. It's praying. Another way we nurture is setting the example. You see, we nurture by setting the example. We admonish by setting example. Admonish means instructing. Admonish means teaching. Admonish means correcting. Admonish does these things, but we do that by example. We set the example. If we don't want our kids to talk a certain way, guess what? You don't talk that way. You know when you talk that way? You're a hypocrite. And see, the idea is this. We're going to nurture. If we're going to admonish, if we're going to help build up, we got to set the example. We got to pray. We got to set the example. If I don't want them to talk that way, if that's not pleasing to God for them, that's not pleasing for me. We need to set the example. I want them to love God. Then what do they need to see in my life? That I love God. If I want God to be the most important thing to them, get this. Get this. If I want this next generation to see the most important thing for them is to love God, then they ought to see that I love God more than anything. That I love God more than my sports. I love God more than my craft. I love God more than my job. I love God more than anything. They need to see it in my life. They need to see that I love God even more than my sleep. They need to see that I love God. I got to set the example. I got to set the example. If I want my kids to live right, I want my kids to do right, and I'm going to raise them and build them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I have to set that example. I have to stop making excuses and saying, well, I got to do this. No, put God first in your life. Show your kids what your faith truly is. Show your kids that you're trusting God. Show your kids that you don't need to try to come up with your own solution to the problem. Trust God. Follow God. Let your kids see it. And let God do a work. It's praying. It's setting an example. You know how else you do it? By giving time. I know every one of us are busy. We have so much going on. But do you know what? You only have your children and the young people in this church for a short period of time. You want to nurture them? You got to give them time. That's hard sometimes, is it not? But you got to carve that time in. You got to give them that time. No matter if you want to or not. No matter if they're driving you crazy. You got to give them time. Because they need that time. You know why they need that time? Because they need to see how important they are to you. And that you truly love them and care for them. And it's more than just words. It's shown by action. You can do without watching that TV program, but you can't do without spending time with your kids. You can do without going to Starbucks, but you can't do without spending time with your kids. You can do without that brand new outfit, but you can't replace that time that you need to be spending with your kids. You say, why did you bring all those things up? Because you know one of the things that keeps us, and many of us are guilty of this, keeps us from spending the time we need to is something called a job. And yes, we need to work. Yes, we need to provide for the family. Yes, we need to do this. But do you know what? Sometimes we can cut back that work and spend time with our family. And by cutting back, yes, we can't do the Starbucks. Yes, we can't do the new outfit. Yes, we can't do that. But that stuff doesn't matter. But spending that time, quality time, godly time with your children cannot be replaced. I read a statistic that said most kids said that, and they were given different ratios and different things, and said that most of them said that their dad spends less than 10% of the week with them. You know what's happening? You know who's raising our children? Sometimes the mom, but you know who's raising our children? The TV, the iPad, social media. Do you know who's supposed to be raising our children? The parents. We're supposed to be raising them. There's nothing wrong with them spending time on a video game. There's nothing wrong with them doing it. I'm not saying that. But when we just allow that to raise this generation, this is why we're in the place we're in today. Because what this world is pushing and what they're teaching and what they're building up our children is not the same as the Word of God. We got to spend time. We got to spend time with them. Raise the children and nurture an admonition of the Lord. It means you need to spend that time with them. You also need to be willing to correct your children. Now get this. I want each of us to hear this. Kids, I want you to hear this as well. Every one of us do dumb, okay? Every one of us does stupid things, okay? Anyone in this room never done a dumb thing? Okay. We've all done dumb things, right? Kids are going to do dumb things. Get this. Kids are going to do not the most intelligent thing in their lives. Okay? Kids are going to disobey. Kids are going to give an attitude. Kids are going to do those things. Because so do we as parents and adults. We do dumb things too, right? But it's how the parent responds that makes and sets what needs to be done. It's how the parent responds that makes the difference. You see, the child will rebel. The parent is to admonish. The child is supposed to obey. But just as much as the child is supposed to obey, mom and dad are supposed to say, "You did wrong." The mom and dad are supposed to say, "Little Davy, I need to have a talk with you. Let's go for a little walk." Why? Little Davy probably needed more walks and talks than most of us. And the idea is this. The child is supposed to obey, but the parent is supposed to nurture, supposed to build up, supposed to love, supposed to help, supposed to invest, supposed to do the things, but also supposed to admonish, instruct, and say, "You done wrong." I'm glad God's word tells us when we do wrong. God shows me when I've done wrong. And I'm probably like most of you. I do wrong probably every day of my life. And I'm glad God is there to correct me. And I'm glad all scripture is given by inspiration of God is powerful for reproof, for correction, for instruction. I'm glad it's there to admonish me, to get a hold of me, to work in my life. As a parent, I'm to do the same with my children. I'm supposed to exhort my children. I'm supposed to admonish my children. I'm supposed to teach my children. I'm supposed to instruct my children. I'm supposed to help them when they've gone wrong to bring them back. I'm glad as I'm going there, God's there with his shepherd's hook to pull me back and get me back. As a parent, we're to take our shepherd's hook and help get our kids back on the right path and keep teaching them. When they done wrong, we can't dismiss it. I know sometimes it's easy to dismiss it. We've all gotten tired. We've all gotten lazy at times. And we do this. I really didn't hear that as a parent, right? But what are we supposed to do? We're not doing the right thing. We're not helping our children. We're not building our children up. We're not doing this. We're supposed to admonish. We're supposed to exhort. We're supposed to help them. But let's say this. We're to do it with love. I read this. Oh, dad was ready to apply discipline to their son. And says a common phrase that most parents say, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." And the son looked back at his dad and said, "Yes, dad, but it hurts me in a whole different place than it hurts you." Hurts the dad in the heart, hurts the child in the back end, all right? The whole purpose of discipline is to get our attention, to get us back. Children, I want you to get this. I know this is long. We're almost done, but I want you to get this. Discipline is there to get us back on track. For a believer, God gives discipline to get you and me back on track. Doesn't matter your age. Discipline is never given to bring torture. Discipline is given to bring restoration. Discipline is never given to get revenge on someone. Discipline is to be given so that person sees their need, sees what they've done, and comes back, running back to God and saying, "God, I'm sorry, forgive me." That's discipline. That's the purpose of discipline. Walking worthy. Children, walk worthy. Mom and dad, walk worthy. Church member, walk worthy of our vocation. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would just use what we saw this morning to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you get a hold of this generation. I pray you get a hold of our young people. I hope you would help each of them see what their responsibility is. Lord, I pray you get a hold of our parents. Help us to see our responsibility. Lord, I pray you help each of us as church members to get a hold of our responsibility. Lord, help us to live in the way that would please you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.